Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Survival Jobs, the podcast in collaboration with Broadway World. I am Jason A. Coombs, and this is my amazing, beautiful co-hostess with the mostest, Samantha Dawn Titzelow. And Sam, before we begin, I just want to remind everyone that we are streaming audio on all podcast platforms, or you can watch our exclusive video here on Broadway World, if that wasn't clear. How you doing, girl?
Hi, Jason. Happy Valentine's Day.
It is Valentine's Day. Those of you who are hearing this on Thursday, we are recording from the past, and it is Valentine's Day. And on the video, I have this fun little t-shirt.
That's so cute. It's a little blurry, but it's so cute.
It says, what does it say? I killed Cupid in self-defense.
Yeah, I love that. And I'm sporting my hot pink beanie for two reasons. A, Valentine's Day. B, today our guest, which we'll talk about later after we gab a little, but our guest, Jordan, is from Bad Cinderella. And they're always like sporting hot pink and black. So I was trying to stay on theme. I was trying to be on brand.
You were. You're on brand.
Thank you so much. What's your temperature check?
Oh, my temperature check. I am, let's see. I was going to say I'm tired, but I feel like that's always my temperature check. No, I mean, we just recorded with Jordan. I'm feeling so inspired. I know we always say that when we have a guest, but just his warmth and his energy and his just the way he was just so free and loving and open was just so infectious, and I'm feeling that definitely came through our Zoom StreamYard screens for me. So I'm feeling good. I'm feeling rejuvenated and so excited for this Valentine's Day. Thank you, Jordan. And you, Samantha, that hot pink looking fierce, definitely giving me energy.
I'm just thanking the Bad Cinderella, you know, marketing team for making this the color. Every time,
smart,
you know, shout out
smart
to past
marketing.
Guests. Yeah, shout out to past guest Lenady, which I think it's so cool that we had the princess and now we have the prince. Because Jordan is playing the prince, Prince Sebastian, and Lenady is literally playing Cinderella, Bad Cinderella. So we had the prince and princess. But every time I see this girl killing it, always, like doing any sort of press for the show, she is in hot pink. And so I found this hat in my closet today and I was like, oh, I'm wearing a hat for this whole interview just to stay on brand.
Love
and I was like, oh my God, it's also Valentine's Day. So I'm also, you know, repping the pink.
Repping the pink. Love
Thank you. Speaking of the show and Lenady, this new single that came out, my God. Wait, I just had the name up and now I've lost it. What is it called? You just had it. Wait.
Yep, I know I have a heart.
I know I have a heart because you broke it. There's my very off key. But Lenady, y'all, slays this single. It's on Spotify.
You slayed it.
That little clip I just did.
Vocals. Yeah.
Thank you. Sometimes I come through with the vocals, but that was like not even any sort of pitch, but that's just where I'm at. No pitch Tuesday. But yes,
no pitch Tuesday.
So I
Hashtag.
I listened to this single like on repeat because I'm just so in awe of her. You know, she's so open on Instagram too about this whole process. And she's like talking about her imposter syndrome and like, oh my God, I'm so grateful. Like what's happening? Like this is a crazy process. And so always we knew she's going to kill this and be amazing. But to hear that, I was just feeling such a sense of pride for her and so happy for her. And I cannot wait to see what happens when the show opens. Not only her and Jordan, these two people. So we met Jordan for the first time today. What a nice, genuine human. And I said to him, I said, I can just feel your nice energy coming through the screen. And it's so true when you say good things happen to good people. These two people are so good. And like this, this show, I feel is going to be iconic and such a marker in history for Broadway. So in conclusion, everyone, this episode's coming out on Thursday, 14th, Thursday, February 16th. And the first preview of Bad Cinderella is Friday, February 17th. So, hey, people, get your tickets, figure out a way to get your body over to the Imperial Theater and check it out. Jason and I will be doing the same. So take following our lead.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't want to read too much because I was always doing research on our guests, but I was like, I don't want to spoil anything about this show because, like, you know, I want to see the show without being spoiled. So I was like, I'm just gonna take a little quick peek at the cast list. I'm gonna take a very quick summary. I listened to the single. So yeah, I'm excited to actually go and see it when that happens and to talk about it more with everybody and to see, like I talk about with Jordan, there's so many like people of color in the cast and that's really, really exciting. We need more and more and more on Broadway. So there we go.
Especially, you know, having such a diverse class, such a diverse cast in a fairy tale that traditionally until we talked about like the Brandy Cinderella, you know, mostly, you know, white actors portraying or white cartoons. So to have this come in, you know, with this amazing cast, amazing diverse cast with this amazing talent, I think is going to be so amazing. And especially for little kids too, to be like, oh, I'm a young Black boy and look at that, I am the prince. You know,
like, this representation is so important, you know. And I feel like I love that this production is kind of following the lead of the foundation that the Brandy, Whitney Houston, Paolo Montalban that we talked about in the episode foundation, like, led, you know, seeing an Asian prince and a Black princess and a Black queen, Whoopi Goldberg, the Black queen, you know, like, how magical is that? And see that continue on, you know, what, 25 years later? It's pretty incredible. You want to talk about Jordan?
I do. I know we already, like, you know, gushed over him at the beginning of this little mic check, but you guys, this is a really good episode and we're so happy, you know, the timing that it's coming out. So everyone go get your tickets. Jordan is just a gem, a peach, a talent, like, genuine. And it's so refreshing. All of our guests are amazing, by the way, but it's so refreshing when we have these interviews where we're just so vulnerable, open, honest about everything, because you guys will hear. So I'm not going to like recap the episode too much, but it's so important to be honest when you're at a level in this industry and when you're not, because so many people want this goal and this dream and it's not all roses.
Rainbows and butterflies. I mean, I think it's so important to hear that because I feel like, you know, people have this idea of like when you get to a certain level of success, like all your problems are gone or like everything is great, everything is just like perfect. But, you know, the more we talk to different people and the more you just realize like that's not always true. Like everyone has their struggles, everyone has their times when they're feeling up, when they're feeling down, no matter what level you're on. You know, it's like we're all human at the end of the day and we're all going through stuff and trying to figure it out. And, you know, community, mentorship, allyship is so important to keeping people uplifted. So love that we talked about that as well in this episode.
Me too. Yeah. Okay.
Great. So, and just really quickly also, we did have a little bit of a little technical issue. So you might hear a little bit of a little fuzziness coming through, so forgive us. I know it doesn't seem like we're still in a pandemic, but we aren't able to record in person still. So forgive us if you hear anything that doesn't sound 100%.
Thank you, Jason.
Yeah, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I cut you off all of the time. Not intentionally. Actually,
one point in an interview, I was giving you time to talk, and then you didn't. And I was like, oh.
Okay. Because you know what? I feel like that happens like when I do like go on mute and I'm like, all right, I'm not gonna speak. Then there's like a pause. And then when
I'm always like, yeah.
Yeah, then when you're speaking, I'm like, blah, blah. So it's funny. Yeah. We'll figure it out one day after episode, what is maybe, this, 64?
Well, maybe we'll get to be back in person. I mean, not back, if we never actually done this podcast in person. Maybe one day we'll get to be in person with guests. Wow. Maybe season 3. We don't know. We don't know. Some things are in the works. So
maybe one day. Yeah, because then we'll be able to feel each other's like energy a bit better of like the flow of interview versus virtual. It's kind of hard. It's hard to to like look at you and the guest and the interview questions
and the questions
but you know what, guys, we're doing the best we can.
It's like the Mariah Carey. You ever seen the Mariah Carey video when she's like drunk on stage and she's like,
I'll do the best I can with what I got.
She's like wasted. It's great. And she's like, I'm doing the best I can with what I got. And she's like yelling at the audience.
That's how I feel. That's how I feel. Okay. Anyway, back to Jordan Dobson. Jordan Dobson, who is currently playing Prince Sebastian in Bad Cinderella on Broadway. Some of his other Broadway credits include Hadestown as Orpheus, A Beautiful Noise as Shiloh in the original Broadway cast, and West Side Story as Tony. Some select regional credits include Austin's Pride, Into the Woods, both at ACT of Connecticut, which shout out Connecticut. We love Connecticut. Yeah. And shout out to ACT, by the way. Sorry to sidetrack. ACT is a very beautiful theater in Connecticut. If you guys are in the Connecticut area and can go support, it's a really great space. Other regional credits include The Wanderer at Paper Mill Playhouse, Cabaret Gypsy at Arden Theater Company, The Color Purple at Theater Horizon. So, upcoming film credit includes William in Netflix Maestro, directed by Bradley Cooper. That's pretty Broadway.
Fire, yeah. Tell me something, girl.
Isn't that wow, we both had some good notes today. Keep it going, Jason.
No.
Okay, that was nice.
I don't want the Lady Gaga fans to get mad at me.
To come for you?
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, enjoy this episode, you guys, and go see Bad Cinderella.
Awesome. Welcome to the show, Jordan. Congrats on Bad Cinderella starting previews this Friday at the Imperial Theater.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm super excited.
Oh, it's going to be fun.
We are super excited as well. Mm-hmm. By the way, we're also so happy because you're playing Prince Sebastian in Bad Cinderella. And we've already had your princess on the show. So now we've had the prince and princess.
Yes, Linetti.
We had her like a full year ago, so I think it's like awesome,
which is so wild. Yeah, and I guess like right, or before she even was announced for Cinderella, right?
Yes, before it was announced, but then come to find out she had known, so she was like keeping the secret during the interview, which she did not like.
Oh yeah, we both knew for like almost a year before it was announced, and then we were just like sitting on the secret for so long.
Oh my,
kind of wild.
That's such a hard secret to keep. Good job.
I know, right? I was not the best at it. She was better than I was. So.
Well, we're definitely going to talk a lot about Bad Cinderella as we get in. And by the way, not to make it about me, but guys, I'm in full hot pink. That's the Bad Cinderella vibe. So I just wanted to come in the vibe for you, Jordan.
Yes. Yeah. And you look great. I love the hot pink.
Thank you. But before we talk about all of the performance things and all of the Bad Cinderella things, let's talk a little bit about survival jobs.
Whoop, whoop.
So to kick it off, why do you think, and do you think there's like a judgment around the term survival job and artists doing it? And what, where do you think that judgment comes from? If you think it does.
Yeah, I think there is a judgment, and I think it comes from privilege of those who don't have to have a survival job, or those who do not, or have a job that is their career and aren't going after something risky, like the arts. And they say like, oh, you know, you'll be a starving artist or things like that. Or even within the arts community, those who don't need that financial support. Yeah, I think there is some judgment that comes from that, which I hope, I mean, I think your podcast is definitely dissipating that and shining light on the fact that we all, I mean, so many of us have survival jobs and continue to have them even after, you know, being on Broadway or before, whatever that journey is. So, yeah.
That's so true. Like, we've had so many guests who've been on Broadway, and then, you know, their show ends, and then they have to go back to their survival job, and then they book something else. It's just part of some of our journeys, you know, in a way.
Totally, yeah.
Do you have a favorite survival job?
Oh.
In your past?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, my favorite. I've had two since moving to New York. I once was a roommate matchmaker, which
is
basically... so fun. Wait, it's like Valentine's Day. You're a matchmaker for roommates? That's so
for
cute.
For roommates. Which I thought I would just be like, oh, there's an apartment and this roommate would be good with this one. And like their bios seem like they're both, you know, like computer engineers, like they're going to be great roommates together. No, I was basically like a real estate agent without a license. And I was not ready for what I was getting into. Like I was like showing people apartments. I was like, yeah, this is a 6-bedroom, 2-bath, like, and had no clue what I was talking about. You know, they were like, are utilities included? And I'd be like, let's circle back to that, you know. I had no clue.
You didn't lie, so that's good.
Right. Where I did lie sometimes, which is so terrible, is in actually my favorite survival job, where I was a waiter at this restaurant, and I was just really bad at it. Like, I would mess up orders all the time, and I don't know, but I loved the job because I could just like talk to people and get to know people.
Yeah.
But I would mess up all the time. And then I always lied about when people would order cappuccinos, because you would have to stop everything you're doing. All of your tables would be on hold for you to make a cappuccino. And I was bad at it. I couldn't get the milk to foam. So I would lie and be like, sorry, the espresso machine is down.
Oh, no. And then the table next to them, next like, gets a cappuccino.
Yeah.
It's like 6. Like
my coworker is like making other cappuccinos. I'm like, oh, yeah, no, it started working again. But have a good day. Or I would also lie about like almond milk was really hard to foam, at least for me. So I'd be like, oh, sorry, we don't do almond milk.
I'm dead. Like,
this is so terrible. And I can't believe I'm admitting this. But yeah, I fully lied about those things because I was just stressed and scared.
It's stressful and scary.
Yeah, I've never served been before. There. Yeah.
We fully have been there with the lies and the stress and the scares. So we get it.
Yeah. I still have nightmares about working at Starbucks sometimes.
Oh, my God. Listen.
I can imagine. I would get so scared about opening wine for people, which I can open wine bottles, but under pressure in front of the table.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
There was a table where I broke 2 of the corks.
Back to back.
Because I was just, yeah, back to back. And then so I was like, okay, haha, third time's a charm. Because I would just like try to be charming to like make things work. And then the cork went in the bottle the third time. And then so I had to ask my manager to open wine for me. And then my solution was like whenever someone would be like, order a bottle of wine and not a glass, I would get a coworker and be like, hey, I'll give you some of my tips if you go present their wine and open it for them and pour it for them. And I'll like, you know, just give you a pool of my tips. So that was my way to get through it.
That's so funny. What Jason and I worked in a restaurant together for quite some time. And one of our coworkers used to go to the server station and say, hey, please open this bottle and then I'll bring it. So she wasn't even like, that was you?
I'm sure I did that a couple times.
I'm talking about Allie. Shout out to Allie. Oh. She used to be like, yes, Allie. Open this bottle. But like, you know, it was like a not that fancy. So it was ultimately okay that she wasn't like doing the whole presentation, but that's pretty right. funny. I think everyone has like a little trauma with the wine bottles.
Oh my goodness.
Stressful.
I'm glad you got it.
Especially when you have like 14 people looking at you.
I know. I know, mm-hmm. for sure. And if you have like a shitty opener that doesn't work, it's like negative, negative, negative.
Right. I'm used to the ones like with the, it kind of looks like arms that go up and then you press it down.
I love those. Yeah.
Me too. But we weren't allowed to use those in the restaurant.
You had to use that whole wine screw.
Yeah.
Wanky. I said a screw. Okay. So the restaurant was your favorite.
Definitely my favorite.
Was the roommate matching your least favorite, or do you have like another least favorite survival job or like a terrible survival job story you can share?
Yeah, I guess the roommate matchmaking was the least favorite because I was just, I felt like bamboozled. Oh, come in.
They can come say hi. Tell them sorry, to come say hi.
That was one of my castmates handing out Valentine's, which is so sweet.
Oh,
her name is so Larkin cute. Riley. She's incredible, like truly wonderful. But and giving out Valentine's because it's Valentine's Day.
That's
sweet. It is Valentine's Day.
Shout out to Larkin Riley.
Thank you so much for coming by. My dresser might pop by, and it's like he just has to, you know, butts with some costumes. So
tell him to come say hi.
This is what it's all about. It's like the exciting of like, you know, preview week. It's what
happens. Yeah. Tech week right before previews. Everyone's, you know, getting the last minute touches together. So, yeah.
But, it's exciting. It's so Broadway.
Broadway. But yeah, so roommate matchmaking, I felt like a little bamboozled into being a real estate agent. I was like, I'm not prepared for this. But a terrible survival job story was I was doing dog walking like on WAG, the app.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
There was this one dog that just like wouldn't want to come. And the owner said that she had a bad back, the dog. And I was like, okay, like I'll get the harness on, like be super careful. And so I'm being super gentle. Finally, I get this dog outside of the house. It was a little staircase. Oh, this is so terrible. The dog fell down the staircase.
Oh, and
I panicked. I just like put the dog back in the house and just stayed with the dog and just like pet it and just like left after I knew the dog was okay. And I just like told the owner, and that was the last dog I ever walked. I was so stressed.
You're like, I can't do this trauma anymore.
No, that was like the worst situation. I was like, did I break this dog's back? Like, I have no clue. So that
pretty,
I've never
they're pretty durable. They're pretty, they can survive a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's when I started waiting tables.
What kind You're of like dog was it?
Yeah.
I think it was like, I'm not good at dog breeds. Like I never have a clue, but the corgis have the short legs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was a corgi or like a mix or something like that.
I love corgis.
Yeah. They're so cute.
And your little butts like, be like, doop, doop,
yeah. but never again. I have a cat. I'm great with my cat. And that's really it for me.
Cats are independent.
They are, and easy with our lifestyle as artists. So
right, you can get that like automatic feeder. My friends have this automatic feeder for their cat that like they can record their name and be like, "Kitty, like feeding time."
Yes, my friend has that too, and I really want to get one.
Yeah,
because you can like you can talk to them.
Yeah,
which is so cool. I can be like, Lemon. Yeah. Lemon is the name of my cat.
Lemon.
We're like Lemon. Sometimes I call her Lemony Snicket. Like many, so many different types of like nicknames that I have for her.
Oh, that is so cute.
Oh my god. So yeah, gosh. I gotta get one of those automatic feeders. That'd be great.
Wait, when's your birthday?
September 13th. I'm a Virgo.
Oh my god, it's my best friend Sierra's birthday. Wow.
Oh my goodness.
Gotta get him a feeder, someone out there for September 13th.
Hey, yeah. Broadway World, if you're listening, Broadway World, can you fund the feeder? Thank you.
Right. Thank you in advance. It's also Bella Swan's birthday from Twilight. Like Kristen Stewart, but the actual character. Yeah.
Do you feel connected to her?
I do. I do. Like, I really think those movies are so fun. I've never read the books, but the movies are just a hoot to me. So
such a hoot.
I have a great time watching them.
I was definitely Team Jasper growing up.
Oh, Jasper, Jason, that's a good one.
I get that.
Yeah,
I get that. I mean, like, I loved Alice because she's just so like weird and like frivolous, and then badass. Yeah, and also, you know that this is gonna be a lot, but you know that that scene where they're playing baseball and she's like,
she's
like a full bat mod. I'm like, a bat mod? She's like, ah. It's so wild and incredible and just like the perfect amount of camp for me. So I love the baseball scene. It's so good.
It is so fun. Those of you
and
who
she's
are,
like, need to, she's like kicking her face to pitch that ball.
You just kicked your face as well.
Yeah, it's going to hurt a little bit because I'm not stretched, but you know, we'll worry about that later.
Thank you for the demonstration.
I got really excited.
I loved it. It was perfect.
And I was going to say, those listening to the audio, you got to like tune to the video now because Jordan did a whole demonstration.
Watch the video. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I love that. I love that little sidetrack that we went a little Twilight right there. But back to Bad Cinderella. Congrats again. And would you mind sharing a little bit of the process of sorry, I can't see my question here. Great, Samantha. I totally ruined that. let's take two. What was the process for like being part of the original cast of Andrew Lloyd Webber's newest musical? Did you like have to audition? Did you get multiple auditions and callbacks?
Yeah, I definitely auditioned. I think they asked me to come in person and I was in Philly visiting my family because I had just finished Hadestown. And I was like, that was so crazy. I wanted to just be with my family. So I was like, no, I'm not coming in. If you want a video, I would love to do a video. But I've been like, that whole year, I was like, family, I have to prioritize my family.
I love that.
Because it's so hard sometimes in this business. So I was
where's your family from?
Philly. So luckily not far.
Yeah.
So when I go home, I try to leave work and just go home. But I was like, I'll even make that exception. Like, I'll do a video if they're down for that. And they were. So then I got back to New York and they were like, come in. I think I did maybe 4 or 5 callbacks, including chemistry tests with different Cinderellas and with Linetti. And which was really magical because it was just so, it was so clear. When her and I got together, I was like, I love her. She's so cool. And I had known of her for a while. And it was funny because someone that she had played opposite with was in for Sebastian. And someone that I had played opposite with was in for Cinderella. So I was like, oh, they're pairing us up based on chemistry from other shows. And I was like, oh, it's going to be Linetti and that other person, or maybe me and this other person. So I was like, it probably won't work out. And then it was both of us. And I was like, yes! so that was super cool. And come in. Oh, thank you so much. Oh, thank you. A Valentine. Oh, everyone here is so sweet. On
that is sweet.
Oh my gosh, you gonna open it?
I think it's fun. I'll open it as I tell the story. I'm using a nail filer as a letter opener.
A letter opener. That works.
But yeah, so then we got it, and we did a little workshop, like a week-long workshop, with just a few members of the cast, you know, go over script changes. And then I had met up with Andrew a few times to just, like, go over possible new songs or reworking scenes from songs. Oh, it's from Tregony. She's so sweet. She's so wonderful. She's in the ensemble.
Tregony!
She covers the queen and the stepmother. It says, you're waffly sweet.
That is so cute.
So cute. And there's a little dark chocolate bar here.
Aww.
This cast is really the best. Like, everyone is so nice. So down to just, like, have a great time and spread love, which is such a blessing.
Isn't that,
like, also what it's all about? You know, we do it for the art, but, like, for the community as well.
Yeah, we picked something that is so fun, what we love to do. So let's love to do it, you know?
Yeah,
for sure.
But yeah, so anyway, and then so I'd have these like one-on-ones or maybe me and Linetti with Andrew and the music team about, you know, reworking songs. And then we started rehearsals like months after that. So all of this time, like the workshop and working with the team, like still that we were keeping the secret. Like no one can know where I am, like where I'm going. And so then finally, right before rehearsals, they announced it. And then we started proper in the rehearsal room, which was just super exciting.
That's so Broadway.
I was going to say, that is so Broadway. You're like, and then we went with Andrew. And I'm like,
I know.
So iconic. Like, that's huge.
Yeah. It was really wild because he's so casual about who he is. You know, like, he was in my auditions. and I didn't realize, like, they were like, oh, and you know, like, Andrew's going to be here. And I was like, oh, like, that's probably like an intern at Ty Rubin or something like that. Like,
I'm dead. Cool.
Like, because, you know, back then I was like Andrew Lloyd Webber, you know, like
you say
the full name. So when they're just like, oh, just Andrew. And, you know, now after working with him, like, I'm not going to call him Andrew Lloyd Webber every single time. Yeah. Now I refer to him as Andrew. And I see why that confused me the first time. I was like, oh, just like some guy, Andy, you know. But he's like that. He's so casual and so chill, and often doesn't realize, like, the stakes of, like, walking in to, like, sing for him. He's just like, yeah, we're just going to sing. And I'm like, okay. Wow. Like, freaking out.
Intern.
Good old Andy.
Good old Andy.
So that's just been really wild but fun. And yeah, just like making this show with the cast. This cast, as I said, is just so special. And Andrew, his like big thing is, he's like, let's just have fun doing this. It's a fun show. Let's all have a good time. Theater is back, you know, we're out of shutdown. Like, and everyone is down to clown. Like, the comedians in this show are
down
ridiculous.
To clown.
Yeah. And I love it. I'm just learning so much. So I feel very blessed with this process.
Oh, well, we can't wait to come and see it. And by the way, we don't know anything about this show other than, you know, the Instagram snippets. And so can you let us, as well as our listeners, know, like, give us a little pitch on why we should all go get our tickets? And also, what are you looking forward to the most upcoming in the run?
Wow. What I'm looking forward to most is really, like I said, making people laugh, making people feel good. And also for people to see this show and the story and be inspired by Cinderella, the character, and by Lanady as a person, of like standing in your power of being who you are and not shifting for anybody else. And even if you do, and even if you do feel like, oh, I'm succumbing to pressure from society, finding your way back, because we all do. No one is perfect. And it's like, I'm 100,000% myself all the time. Like, we are always pressured in some way. So the journey of also finding your way back to who you are and standing true in that, I think, is so important. And the way Lynette does that is so magical, and because it's so authentic to who she is. And same, we have an alternate for Cinderella, Savvy Jackson, who also has her own very specific journey with Cinderella. And the way she finds that is really, really beautiful. So getting to do it with them both is also like such a cool experience. But yeah, I think that journey that she goes on and inspires my character to go on as well, I'm so excited for the audience to see that, for young people to see that, and even for non-young people, like older folks, to reflect and to, you know, there's never a bad time to be like, am I being truly authentic to who I am right now?
Yes.
All while having a good laugh and seeing these beautiful things and, you know, just like having a great time. So it's super fun.
I love that. That's so amazing. I'm so excited for you. Oh my gosh, your energy is so infectious.
Oh, thank you.
You're literally so nice.
I know.
I'm like smiling. I'm like, wow, what a nice.
Thanks.
This is hurting your brain. Stop smiling the whole time.
It's funny because everyone in the show is very mean to my character. Like, no one is nice to Prince Sebastian except for Cinderella.
Yeah.
So I'm like, and this cast is so nice, but hearing that I'm like, oh, shucks. I'm about to go through 2 hours of like getting yelled at. So thank you.
Of course, of course.
Maybe I needed that. No, well, but everyone's really wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. I can tell. In addition to the upcoming Bad Cinderella, you've had many awesome credits, including Hadestown and West Side Story. But has there been a time in your artistic journey where you wanted to quit? If so, what was that moment like and what kept you going?
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely wanted to quit. The pandemic, as many of us, I think, went through of like, is art really for me?
Oof, yeah.
Yeah. Just like thinking that it's never going to come back kind of makes you, in a way, grapple and almost heal with the fact that it's not coming back and justify why you don't want to do it. That was my experience. I can't speak for anyone else. But I found myself being like, it's not going to happen, at least not for a while. And subconsciously being like, well, what are the reasons that I don't want to do this? And like, why will it not work out for me? I didn't mean to get emotional, but yeah, it's kind of a scary thing to think about, because when you love it so much, you know, like you don't always get to do it. It's such a privilege. So those times were hard. And also coming to terms with the business side of what we do was really difficult for me in many different instances in my career on Broadway and outside of Broadway. And so just like learning that the art is one part of it and the business is another part of it was really difficult for me at first, until I realized that like I'm an artist and a business person at the same time. And I had to learn how to be a business person so that it didn't affect me so much and I didn't feel so unprepared for the business. You know, Lynette went to business school, so she knew all about it. And I had I was singing, dancing, and acting in school, which prepared me for a few things, but not for everything. But luckily, I've worked with a lot of really wonderful people and people who have been in the business for a long time who have taken me under their wing. Specifically, I just want to shout out Amber Gray, because she is someone who really carried me. Specifically in Hadestown, but just throughout. And Grace McLean does that for me here. She plays my mom in the show. And, you know, these really wonderful women who have just seen me as this guy, like, still figuring things out on Broadway and being like, you know, I can help, you know?
Yeah.
So finding these relationships has been such a blessing. Yeah, I'm just very grateful for that. And especially in times of being like, I don't know if I'm meant for this, or I don't know if I can do this or continue to do this. The sense of community that is in this field is something so special and makes me so emotional. It's really a blessing.
That's so beautiful.
I know.
And it is so true. You know, this is hard. You know, Jason and I talk about it a lot on this show, especially our journeys and our feelings of ups and downs. And you need the people to hold you up, right? And that's how success happens, when you're surrounded by positive people and people who believe in you. Thank you for being so open with that. That's really beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. Thank you all for asking.
I think it's important to hear that, like, at every level, right? No matter if you're on Broadway or if you're just starting out, community is always so important. Finding your tribe is like integral to your success, I feel like, because it's kind of hard to do it alone, you know? It's much easier to get burnt out and to not keep going without people uplifting you, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think impossible to do it alone too. Like, no matter what anyone says, I think you can't do it by yourself. And in thinking of that, someone else, like Eva Noblezada, she's someone who speaks up so much about mental health in this field, which I appreciate, and has helped me with my own journey there, and helped me feel like I can speak up about it, and not everything has to be like, oh, I'm on stage, or oh, I'm in my dressing room, and it's like, or I'm in my dressing room, like, having a hard time, you know?
Right.
It's not all glitz and glam, and sometimes it is, and it's wonderful, but also we are human beings, and we are all going through things. So I think the more people that shine a light on that, and she is someone who very much does in this business, I think is a great thing. And I think will help our field keep moving in the right direction and in an honest direction. So yeah, I just wanted to just put that in there as well.
Yeah, and that's so important, especially for a lot of our listeners to hear who are, you know, dreaming of this life and the journey, to hear that it's not all peaches and cream, you know, that you'll have survival jobs. And even when you are at a level as yourself with, you know, intern Andy, there's still the struggles.
Right.
And it's okay. Right. And it's okay. And it's all a part of it.
It is. And it's a beautiful journey, you know, looking at the highs and the lows. It is, there's beauty in all of it. So yeah, I just feel very blessed. And I hope that the listeners hear that and they're like, yeah, because before Broadway or before success in the arts, there are highs and there are lows. And in survival jobs, there are highs and there are lows. Like, I have felt just as high at my survival job as I have on an opening night of Broadway, but also just as low. So I think we gotta acknowledge both. So thank y'all for creating the space where we can talk about
this. Thank you for being so open. We love that. Jason and I are suckers for some inspiration and some deep talk. So we love when we get to go a little deep, right, Jay?
Yeah, I'm like, I'm tearing up over here. Thank you. I'm so cheesy. Thank you, though.
So, Jordan, I know that you've been so busy in rehearsals and just inhaling Bad Cinderella and Andrew Lloyd Webber's music, but is there anything else right now that's feeding your soul creatively? Any shows, any books, any new albums, any songs that is like fueling your art?
Yes, there are so many. I mean, I just did, but a bit ago, the Drama Podcast, which shout out to them, they're awesome. And I talked about my favorite artist. Her name is Jensen McRae, and she's a singer-songwriter. And her music inspires me so much. And I write music as well. And I really look up to her as a musician, as a songwriter. So whenever I can, I throw her on just to be inspired. And when I do have the time to write my own music and sit down or tinker with songs that I've already written, I just feel like myself again a bit. And yeah, as far as music, that's what is like fueling me and fueling my artistry. But I do have a favorite book that I've just been, I keep rereading it over and over again, or like listening to the audiobook on my way to work, just because it's like a comfort book for me. And it's Circe by Madeline Miller. And it's about Circe, the Greek goddess, and who appears in the Odyssey, but it's told from her point of view. And I don't know, I really love mythology, and it's, Madeline Miller does this beautiful, has this beautiful gift of like retelling mythology through a different lens and through this female lens. And I find it incredibly powerful. And they're making an HBO series based off the book, which I'm so excited for. Also like trying to manifest like to be in it. Like that would be such a dream.
That's what we do on this show. We manifest.
Yes. So HBO, if you hear me, please. I love mythology of any background. So I'm just like such a nerd for it. So that's really fueling me right now. And anything mystical, I just find so fun, which is why like Hadestown was such a blast. Like I was like, oh, I'm just like vibing in this like mystical thing. So that was cool.
I love that show. So that was the last show I saw before the pandemic.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, I saw it on my birthday. My birthday's like in January, so I remember going, and I was like, that's my thing for my birthday. And that fed me in the early days of the pandemic, to be honest, that music. So
yeah, it's so cool. It's such a beautiful story. Mm-hmm. So hoping for this HBO series, like whether I'm a part of it or not, just like I'm excited either way for Circe by Madeline Miller, who also wrote Song of Achilles, which I'm a nerd about that too. and other than that, I just try and like take walks or do puzzles. I mean, like, it's all a little boring, but I love puzzles.
puzzles too.
So I just try and chill with my cat, do my little puzzle. She just watches me, or sometimes like we'll gnaw at the pieces. and listen to my audiobooks, and I don't have much time to cook. Like, I really like to cook, but I take all day if I'm going to cook a meal. I want to, like, go to the grocery store, pick out the ingredients, you know, put on some music, chop the onion slowly, like, you know, so hopefully once we're open, I'll have time for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, anything that just, like, brings me back to myself, and usually it's, like, reading, writing music, and doing puzzles.
That's love beautiful.
That. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. So I was doing a little research on Bad Cinderella, and I didn't want to see any spoilers. So I was like trying to be very cautious, but I was looking at the cast and it looked so diverse, right? There's so many people of color, like on the website under the cast and creative. So my question is, to tie this all in together, is do you have any advice or like maybe any ideas of how Broadway could be even more inclusive to performers of color out there as someone who is a person of color?
Yes, 100%. I think one, producers need to produce more works that of writers of color, you know, and not only produce that work, but advertise it and market it, not only to the normal Broadway, you know, like the formula for however they market Broadway shows, but to a community the show is reflecting. I feel like we've seen a lot of closures of Broadway shows lately, and a lot of them have been about people of color. And I feel like if we really advertise to those communities and lift up those communities and make it accessible for them, then we can have more representation and more color and more diversity in general in the new generation of performers, because who goes into performing without being exposed to it? And if you don't have access to seeing art and seeing theater, then, you know, you're most likely not gonna pursue it. So I think accessibility is the biggest thing. And it's something I want to learn more about as far as the business and how to make that work, because I know that Broadway is a business and there, you know, you have to sell a certain amount of tickets and how much money, but how can there be a way that we make it accessible and still allow it to survive financially so that we can have more diversity in every way, on stage, backstage, behind the table, on the producing team as well. I feel so lucky that my cast is a diverse cast, and you know, we celebrate that and we feel wonderful about it, but there's always more work to be done. So I'm excited for the future, because I think we are always making little steps, and I'm excited for, you know, when some every now and then there's a big step and some little steps. So it is a journey, but it's a journey that I'm here for and that I hope to, you know, help be a part of and a leader of in any way that I can. So
you already are a part of it, so that's beautiful, and just keep it going.
Thank you. And you know, like a fun little anecdote, I ran into Paolo, who and I can't believe I'm blanking on his last name, but he played the prince in Cinderella, the Brandy movie.
The Montalban, right?
Yes, that's it.
Yeah. That's like my favorite version of Cinderella.
Me too. Until now. Until
back. Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
There we go. But I ran into him at a restaurant, and it was really such a magical moment, because he was one of those people for me, just as a person of color in general, and of course Brandy. But you know, I've yet to meet Brandy, and I hope that happens someday.
You will.
But you know, being Cinderella's prince and seeing that cast of Cinderella in that film was such an important thing to me as a kid.
Same, yeah.
And so being a Black Cinderella's prince, I was like, you know, like, you were the first prince of color that I've ever seen. And Brandy is the first Black princess that I've ever seen. That was huge to me. So running into him in person and getting to talk to him and tell him what that movie meant to me, while doing our version of Cinderella with two leads of color as well, playing Cinderella and the prince, was the coolest thing and the most full circle thing. And I like totally cried, and I'm like trying to hold back tears now. But yeah, it's just, I think a really, I think the universe was just like, hey, like, you're doing the right thing. Like, I'm just going to put you in this situation with someone that you watched on TV as a kid who is doing what you're currently doing right now, who did what you're doing right now. Showing little kids that you can be of color and be a prince and be royalty. And
yes,
it was just really just pure magic that moment. And he was so kind and so sweet. So thank you, Paolo.
Oh, he seems like the sweetest person. I follow him on the gram too. So.
On the gram.
Yeah, I have a picture with him. I've yet to put. I'll post it at some point.
Oh, you should.
Yeah, yeah. He's really wonderful.
That's a really beautiful moment. I'm so happy that you got to have that.
Yeah. Just,
like, life is weird. The fact that the universe put you in the same spot as him randomly at this time in your life. Like, while you're doing this is so cool.
Yeah. What are the odds?
What are the odds?
Yeah. And he was like, I know you're the prince in Cinderella. And I was like, I'm the prince in bad Cinderella. I know you're prince. I'm your bad prince. All right, anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
I did the little kick. For those who can't see, I did the kick.
Your kick when you were demonstrating the Twilight scene was excellent. I know we
that kick
it, but that kick was iconic.
And I'm
Jordan, you're iconic.
Thank you so much. This was so much fun.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, thank y'all. What a great way to start the day and to like go into this dress rehearsal for the show. Like, I'm gonna go in smiling so much.
Well, thank you for spending Valentine's morning with us. That's so awesome.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Yeah. And yeah, thank you for having me and happy Valentine's Day. And you both are waffly sweet. As my dear Tregonu gave me this Valentine.
Well, I'm not sure if we told you, but we do play a really quick fun game at the end. So we're not going to take up too much more of your time.
Ooh.
If you have like 4 more minutes for us.
Oh my goodness, I love a game, yeah.
Oh yeah.
I've got plenty of time.
We love bring it back to keeping it fun and giggly.
Yeah.
Yes, the clown, right? Down to clown.
Down to clown. Oh, come in. We're playing a game. Come on in.
Come on in. Hi, Alfredo.
I'm doing a quick podcast. This is one of our SMs, Alfredo. Do you want to be on?
Hi, Alfredo. You're on Broadway World.
On Broadway World. And just gave me a Valentine. Thank you. Happy Valentine's Day.
I love that. I'm so jealous.
So many wonderful Valentines. Everyone's so nice.
You're going to have like 1,000 Valentines all over your dressing room.
Yeah.
Okay. So in honor of Bad Cinderella and fairy tales, we're going to do a little fairy tale trivia game. There might be some multiple choice, some non-multiple choice, but it's only 4 questions and a bonus. So do you have your competitive panties on?
Oh, you know it. You know it. They're on. I can't tell you them, but they are on.
Yeah. I wasn't ready for panties.
I'm down the clown. Come on.
Yes. I love it.
That is so good.
You want to take the first one, Samantha?
Yeah, I'll take the first one. Okay.
Cool.
Number one. In the story of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, how did the evil witch poison Snow White?
Boom. An apple. A poison apple.
Correct.
I'm feeling confident with this one.
And Snow White goes into a deep sleep after eating the apple. But I just want to let everyone know I'm allergic to apples, so don't try to give me any.
Oh, now
so you're basically Snow White.
I'm basically Snow White.
You're a princess too.
Thank you.
All right. Question 2. The character of Maleficent appears in which fairy tale?
Ah, Sleeping Beauty.
Oh my gosh, 2 for 2.
2 for 2.
Yeah. I love it. I told you, I like anything mystical, and so fairy tales is great.
Maleficent is the evil fairy who curses Sleeping Beauty.
Mm-hmm. Okay, next. In the classic version of Cinderella, how many stepsisters does she have? This is multiple choice, but do you want the multiple choice or do you want to just go for it?
I feel like it's a trick question because I want to say what we're all thinking. I'm going to trust that. I'm going to go for it and say 2.
Correct.
Okay, ding, great, ding. Great. I was like, y'all kind of tricked me. Okay, great. Yeah.
No.
Okay. In the last one before the bonus, in the story of Jack and a Beanstalk, which of these items is not an item Jack stole from the giant? So A, a bag of gold, B, a harp, C, a sword, or D, the goose.
Okay, luckily I played Jack and Into the Woods once, and I don't remember anything about a sword, so I'm gonna say he did not steal a sword.
Ding, ding, ding. Jack used an axe to cut down the beanstalk. Look at you.
Yes, yes.
4 for 4.
I love that show too. Into the Woods is so good.
It's great.
Okay, and here's the bonus, which
obviously you'll don't get. Need.
Which of these fairy tale characters loses a shoe?
I'm gonna have to think about this one.
B, Belle, C, Snow White, or D, Cinderella or Bad Cinderella?
Oh, Cinderella and Bad Cinderella. Wait, did I give anything away? Yeah, no, Bad Cinderella. There's a shoe moment too. So if I wasn't supposed to, I gave it away.
Boom.
But yes, Cinderella.
I mean, I don't think you gave anything away saying, like, maybe she loses a shoe. Because
right.
It's like, unless, it's, you know.
Right, there is a shoe in our version.
Yeah.
So, is it a Louboutin, though? Is it a Louboutin? Okay.
It's a hot shoe. It's really, I mean, the costumes, they're great.
Oh, my God. Wait.
So,
well,
yeah,
congratulations. You killed the game.
Thank you. Honestly, I listened to Renee's episode. And she got all of her questions, so I was like, I really got to nail this game, you know?
Yeah.
I got to step it up. So I'm relieved that I got them.
Her game was kind of hard, I think.
That was. It was a finish the lyric.
Finish the lyric from, a variety of shows she had been in.
Yeah,
yeah.
That was a hard
And you
one.
Know what's weird? On my way here this morning, I was, like, listening to West Side Story and Hadestown and, like, Neil Diamond, like, A Beautiful Noise. I was like, all right, I know these lyrics. Like, I was prepping for finish the lyric.
I'm dead. Well, Jordan, thank you again. Would you let everyone know where they can find you on social media if they're not fans of you yet, so they can become a fan of you after listening to this?
I am only on Instagram, and you can find me at Jordan_Dobson. Yeah, and that's me. I'm just on there. I don't do Twitter.
Perfect.
Twitter kind of scares me, so
yeah.
It's a common theme.
Yeah. So
it's
I'm just
wild,
on Instagram.
West out there.
yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
And
then Facebook is like,
Yeah, no, I'm like, Facebook is just like my family. Like, I just go on to tell my aunt, like, oh, I'm in this show now.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And she tells her friends.
If you want to sell something.
Yeah, if you want to sell something. I'm about to sell an air conditioner on Marketplace, so some prayers. Selling an air conditioner in February.
Someone will buy it. So.
Yeah. And if you guys are tuning in because you're a Jordan fan, as you should be, and you don't follow us yet, follow us on Instagram and scary Twitter at Survival Jobs Pod, on Facebook at Survival Jobs a Podcast. Shoot us an email at survivaljobspod@gmail.com. Follow my boy Jason at Jason A. Coombs. Wait. I'm trying to point to you, but I'm having trouble.
It's always backwards.
Okay. And that just took me way longer than it should have. Follow my boy Jason at Jason A. Coombs. And you can follow me at Sammy Tuts. Jordan, this was such a beautiful episode. We can't wait to see you shine and kill it in this show. Congratulations. Tell intern Andy we said hey, and also tell the lady we love her.
Oh my goodness, thank you so much. I will
give
the lady
a big hug for us.
Yeah.
Definitely will. Thank you so much for having me. I had a blast.
Yeah.
Oh, good. So did we.
Seriously, the best Valentine's Day morning.
Best Valentine's Day morning.
Yes, happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the Rise Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RiseTheatre.org, because only together we rise.